Just to remind your listeners, all I was asking for is informed consent in the rollout of these vaccines to our kids. And by the way, Michael, nothing of what I said in my press statement has been proved wrong. In fact, every passing day shows that every statement I made is really important. We now know that kids don't need the vaccine. We know that they're being harmed by the vaccine. In fact, today there is somebody brought to my attention a new study in Thailand, which shows that. So, everybody's talking about the VAERS system, which is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System in the United States, and the tens of thousands of deaths that have occurred related to the COVID-19 vaccines, and the multiple, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of complications, many serious complications that have occurred related to the vaccine. Now, what a lot of people don't realize, though, is that the VAERS system is a passive reporting system. In other words, the VAERS authorities don't go and look for the complications. They wait until somebody contacts them. It's still a much better system than we have in Canada, which is really no system at all, because everything has to go through a medical officer and a public health officer, and only if that public health officer deems it to be related to the vaccine is it sent up to Health Canada's database. But the VAERS system is anybody can submit a vaccine injuries thing, but it's still a passive system. In fact, VAERS itself acknowledges it, that it's the limitation is that it's passive. Now, the Thai study, it was active. So they actually did basic tests like blood work, ECG, echocardiogram before and after the vaccine. And they found that their myocarditis rate was not, the numbers we've been hearing. I don't know if your listeners tuned in to what Kieran Moore, the Ontario chief public health officer, recently, about I would say about a month ago, he said, first of all, he called the vaccine a therapeutic. And that's the first time he's ever done that. We've been saying that this doesn't fit the traditional definition of a vaccine for months. But anyway, he said this therapeutic caused myocarditis in 1 in 5,000 young people. And then he claimed that if you're young and healthy, you should do a risk-benefit analysis and see whether you really need the vaccine. And of course, you don't. The fact is, you absolutely don't. If you're young and healthy, you don't need this vaccine. Now, that figure, 1 in 5,000, has come down to 1 in 2,500, 1 in 2,700 in the Hong Kong study. But in this study, where they were actually looking for the number of people harmed by the vaccine via myocarditis, they showed that 1 in 100 kids
Wow.
get myocarditis after the mRNA vaccine. And for reasons that I still don't understand, the Moderna vaccine, which has more of the mRNA substance and has caused more myocarditis than the Pfizer vaccine, has been approved in Canada for 6-month-old babies. So there's a real medical emergency now. And the medical emergency is protecting our kids from this injection that they don't need and which can harm them. Some of them will die because of this injection. Whereas if they get COVID, they will shake it off quickly and easily. And healthy children, the mortality rate for COVID is less than the risk of you getting into a motor vehicle accident and dying. So
Yes.
it's less than the risk of dying in a bad flu year. So for healthy kids. So our young people, our kids, what I would tell parents is, if you decide not to vaccinate your babies or your kids, don't feel guilty about it, because there's absolutely solid, rock solid science that backs your decision. If you decide not to vaccinate your kids, you're making the right choice. The healthy kid does not need the vaccine. The healthy kid can be harmed by the vaccine. The healthy kid can get myocarditis, but myocarditis is only one of the several really severe reactions and adverse events and diseases that the vaccine can give your kid. And remember, the kid has his whole life ahead of him or her, and they're our future. We don't know what is the long-term effects of this vaccine. Does it have an effect on fertility, for example? We don't know what is the effect on autoimmune disease. So don't feel guilty, parents, if you decide not to vaccinate your kids. And young people, don't feel guilty, because you have literally hundreds of studies that back your decision. You're on rock solid ground. Don't feel coerced either. And when I say coerced, I mean, you know, literal blackmail, like what was going on in Canadian hockey clubs. If you don't vaccinate your kids, you can't bring your kid into the hockey rink. You can't join the hockey club. And so, you know, parents got their kids vaccinated, even though they didn't fully believe in it. Now, don't do that, because health is wealth, as the old saying goes. And if you lose your health, you can't play hockey anyway. So so health is much more important than being a member of a club or a hockey rink, and things will change. And, you know, you can form your own hockey club with people, with young, healthy kids who are not vaccinated. And that's been done in Saskatchewan and in other places. So I would say, you know, don't feel guilty if you decide not to get your kid vaxxed. Or young people, healthy young kids, young people, don't feel guilty if you decide not to get the injection, the mRNA COVID injection, or the AstraZeneca injection. You know, people think that it's a different vaccine, but the AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson also make the spike protein. And the spike protein, we know by itself, is toxic. So, you know, the real emergency now is to save our kids from this unnecessary injection, which is not safe and not effective, which can kill them. You know, I know of cases where, you know, you had grandparents who were literally in tears, because they would say, you know, my grandkids are avoiding me. They've been told that they will kill me if they come near me. This is not only unethical, it's tragic, and I would say it's even criminal to give wrong information to kids. In fact, the studies show that kids are actually very inefficient in transmitting the virus. And that's for a whole variety of reasons. But real-world studies show that if you're a teacher, for example, you have a much less risk of getting COVID than the general population. So teachers in many countries have less COVID than the people who are outside the teaching environment. In other words, kids don't give adults the disease. And even if they did, adults should be protected anyway if they're vaccinated, right? So it makes no sense. The vaccine doesn't protect adults. It doesn't protect kids. It causes problems in adults. It causes problems in kids. It's not safe, it's not effective, and it should be pulled from the market. I mean, it's one of the biggest medical disasters in history.
Yes, well, and certainly now, if we are still utilizing the wild Wuhan, and it's wild, we should call it wild because that's ridiculous, the lab origin Wuhan strain from, you know, nearly 3 years ago now, injecting that into people is completely hopeless, because it's not providing you, it doesn't work, period. But you're now getting, yes, immunity to a spike protein which doesn't exist in the environment anymore. And without the, you know, this should have been a nasally administered product, which would have invoked the mucosa to build a proper immunity chain. And by skipping the typical route of immunity response, you know, I think this is one of the other big problems that we've seen here. And again, you know, if we, depending which rabbit hole you want to go down, and, you know, you listen to Dr. Michael Yaden and others, you know, this was never designed to be a vaccine. This was a eugenics tool to reduce the population. I mean, some of these are salacious claims, but, you know, whatever the original intent, the result seems to be happening in that regard.
Well, the fact is, this vaccine is not safe and not effective. So we've been told this mantra again and again: safe and effective, safe and effective. You know, it's like a religious chant. You know, the Aztecs and the Mayans, before they did their human sacrifice, they did a chant to their gods. So this is, the gods are here, are the vaccines, and the safe and effective is a chant. And we know it's not safe and not effective. And like you said, the present vaccine is against the Wuhan strain, the original strain, the alpha strain of the vaccine. And I've actually looked at the molecular structure of the spike protein in the Omicron versus other strains. And, you know, as viruses do, they adapt, right? So there are key molecular areas where the Omicron has changed. And this is supposed to give you immunity. No, it doesn't. Full stop. And it's supposed to give you immunity against the Omicron strain. You must be joking. I don't know what you're smoking. Because it's a different virus. It's a different strain. It's a different evolution of the virus. So coming back to the kids, you know, first of all, informed consent, risks. It's a very risky proposition to give a healthy kid or a healthy young person the vaccine. It can cause myocarditis. It can kill the person. What are the benefits? You know, actually no benefit at all. All the risk and no benefit. Yeah. All the risk and no benefit. And are there alternatives? Yes, there are. And one is not to take the vaccine at all. The CDC itself showed that 75% of American children, and this is back in April, already had COVID, natural infection. Yeah. Natural infection, COVID, 75%. We know that natural infection with the COVID virus protects you better than any vaccine. Better than any vaccine. So that's one alternative, not to do anything at all. If the kid does get COVID, there's actually good treatment for it if the kids need it. And, you know, the risks, benefits, alternatives. These are the basic foundational pillars of informed consent. And it's a risky proposition to give this COVID injection to a kid who's healthy or a young person. It's, you know, the benefits are zero compared to the risks. And the alternative is not to have the vaccine at all, because most kids, 75, 80, 90% of kids have already had COVID. In kids, it's very mild. It lasts typically 1 or 2 days. It's like a mild cold. Actually, one of my colleagues' kids recently had COVID. He had a slight loss of smell for 1 day. That's it. And so, you know, mothers, fathers, and young people, don't feel guilty if you decide not to have this COVID injection. There is a wealth of evidence backing your decision. Don't feel coerced. And if the kid gets COVID, they are likely to shake it off real easily. And if they need treatment, there's good alternative treatment with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, especially ivermectin for kids.
Yes. And certainly I think the reinforcing the fear narrative isn't helpful for anybody, but especially children. So they live in this perpetual state of fear, which of course reduces your immunity. And if the message was reinforced to children that, you know, because you're young and healthy, you have a vibrant and functioning immune system, you have nothing to worry about. People get sick. You know, that we enter this age where nobody wants to experience any level of hardship. Well, you know, it's part of the human condition that there's going to be hardship, there's going to be some suffering. And if you're sick for a few days, you're sick for a few days. And it's actually a net benefit to your immune system because now you have a new series of antibodies to fight the next similar type of infection.
Absolutely. And what is particularly galling and completely objectionable and completely nonsensical is that kids are being used as human shields to supposedly protect the old and the teachers, for example. There are some teachers who say, oh, you know, the kids can give me COVID. Now, this is not only unethical, it's immoral. Because when in history are kids used as human shields against adults? You know, it's the adults who have to protect our kids. We have to protect our kids. Kids are not to protect us. We have to protect them. That's how God arranged it. And that's the message in nature. And that's the message for human beings too. So this whole idea, putting kids in mass, that's child abuse. Yes. It doesn't work. And there are very good studies now that language learning for kids has been set back by 2 years, 3 years, by kids wearing masks and teachers wearing masks. Many people think that, you know, it's by sounds, through sounds, that kids learn language. Actually, that sound is important, but less important than observation of the face. It is observation of face, expressions, movement of lips. These are things that are more important than the sounds for language learning. And that's been shown by child psychologists. And if they can't see your face, you can't see their face. And can you imagine teenagers not seeing each other's faces? I mean, seeing each other's faces is so basic to a teenager. Hugging each other is so basic to kids and young people. And so my message to educators is stop abusing the kids. It's gone along long enough.
Yeah.
And if you don't stop abusing the kids, parents are going to take the kids away from the schools, and you're going to lose your jobs, teachers, because there's going to be an explosion of homeschooling, alternative schooling, and just stop abusing the kids.
Yeah, which I think is a process which is already well underway.
Yes.
A lot of friends with children, they've pulled them out. They're sick of the fear. And in fact, I just said it on the show previously, one couple removed their kids because they're sick of them coming home telling that the world is ending because it's going to burn up. And, you know, all these fear-based narratives. It's like, leave the kids alone. Educate them instead of indoctrinating with these ridiculous ideologies and, you know, literally frightening them to death on a daily basis. It makes no sense. It's not healthy.
No sense at all.